Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you might open your word to our hearts. We pray for the children, Lord, in their time. Lord, refresh them. Lord, stir them, Lord, in an appropriate manner, Lord, that is fitting their age and understanding. But Lord, you do say, let the little children come, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Lord, you don't call us to be childish in our faith. You call us to be childlike in our faith. A reckless confidence, a trust that doesn't question, but simply is assured of the fact that our Heavenly Father has every good and perfect gift in store for us. So Lord, we just come to your word now here today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like us to turn to the word of the Lord, can we? And the passage that will be on the screen in a few moments is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verse 25 through to verse 34. Now, before we actually read this passage, it fits in nicely with what we looked at last week, where we discussed how Jesus healed 10 lepers, 9 of which went and did what Jesus commanded, but only one returned to give thanks to the Lord. A Samaritan, would you believe? Someone who was outside of the Jewish community, despised and rejected. An alien, a stranger, and yet it was someone whom society had rejected that became the one who went back to Jesus and gave thanks to the Lord for being healed and cleansed. And today we have another passage which talks about a similar yet equally unique experience of faith, the faith that reaches out, the faith that is willing to press through and take hold of what God has promised. It's the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. So before we actually continue, let's just read this passage and let's look at what the word of the Lord says. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. This is a marvellous passage of scripture, isn't it? And I think it touches the very sort of the pulse of human existence when you understand something of the severity and the complexity and the timeline of illness. This wasn't just a weekend cold, was it? Or a headache on a Sunday morning. This was a lifelong and a life-transforming physical condition that had shaped this woman to the point at which she'd run out of all options, run out of all of her money. The list of doctors who could help her was growing very thin. There wasn't any hope, humanly speaking, for this woman. And yet she had a word from God, maybe spoken through others who had mentioned her and talked to her, but also had mentioned Jesus to her. And it talks about the fact that she heard that Jesus was in town. She heard about the fact that this rabbi from Nazareth, reports had spread abroad that Jesus was coming to town. And surely this was the last hope, wasn't it? This was the last chance to actually have this encounter in the hope, albeit a fragile hope. Her faith, yes, was as a mustard seed. But that's all it takes, isn't it? In order for us to have an encounter with the Lord. Now, as we just look at Mark's gospel, it's divided up into a number of different sections. Chapter 5 through to chapter 8 focuses our attention on the power and the coming of the kingdom of God. Especially the work of the kingdom through Jesus himself. So we have Jesus with the power of the kingdom over nature, with the calming of the storm. The power of the kingdom over the demonic, with the deliverance of Legion. Well, that was the name of the demons, but certainly the man in Gennesaret who was plagued with demons and was delivered. Amen. And now we have the power of the kingdom over disease. But not only was this woman healed on this occasion, but it fits in almost like ham in a sandwich, because there was another miracle that took place. And that was the healing of Jairus' daughter, who was a synagogue ruler, a man of high standing. But he had a daughter who was 12. So for 12 years, he'd enjoyed the presence of his daughter. But she was ill to the point of death. But for 12 years, he'd enjoyed having his daughter. This woman, on the other hand, had known illness for 12 years. So two very different scenarios. And yet both were marked by the fact that the power of God came to minister to those needs. Both the woman was healed, as well as Jairus' daughter was raised up. And God was glorified. But here we have faith that seeks to reach out. Now, this passage tells the story of a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. It had crippled her emotionally. It had crippled her in so many areas. But her plight was absolutely obvious. And as we look at the word of the Lord here today, her hopeless condition stands out, doesn't it? As we understand something of the frailty of her illness, but also the consequences of illness. As we read last week with the lepers, they were outcasts of society. They couldn't go anywhere near the temple. They couldn't go to worship. They were kept outside the city. And this woman, physically for 12 years, she had known bleeding, constant weakness, pain, and everything that went along with this illness. Emotionally rejected, isolated, treated as unclean. Again, another condition that meant that if you were ill in this way, you had to be outside the camp. She was on her own. We're not told that she had a husband or any family members. Her whole life had been shaped by this illness. And very often, when it comes to illness, it's not only the physical aspects that have to be understood and worked through. Medication, visits to the hospital maybe, or to the doctor. It's actually the emotional. How do you actually live your life when faced with illness that is not simply a weekend cold, but rather a life-defining condition? So emotionally, felt rejected, didn't have any support. Financially, she was broke. She spent all that she had on physicians without any relief. So it's not so bad if you actually invest in some medical support and you're making a bit of progress and you're seeing the benefits. The medication is doing its work. But for this woman, the more she spent, the worse she got. There was no hope. Can you just put yourself in that position here today? Can you just imagine the sense of fear and pain, both physically and emotionally, that this woman would have faced? And then spiritually, her hopeless condition was such that she was unfit, like the lepers last week, to enter the temple or even to shake somebody by the hand or even give them a hug. Why? Because under the law of Moses, her uncleanliness If she had touched someone else, they too would have been rendered unclean. Which is remarkable because that's what the law prescribed. So on the basis of the law, the moment she touched Jesus' garments, albeit the hem, as it records in Luke, then he would have been pronounced unclean. But what happened? What happened to her uncleanliness when she touched the one who was clean? Was he rendered unclean? No. She was transformed by his cleanliness. That's how God reverses the curse. That's how God works. We tend to think that if we touch the Lord, then he's going to be affected by that. And he's going to be blemished by our sinfulness. But the Bible says that we are cleansed because of his purity, because of his sinlessness. And as the story unfolds, that's exactly what happened. This hopeless condition, both physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, and so much more. This woman was on her own, isolated. It was bad enough dealing with the physical reality of illness. But when we get sick, hopefully there are people who can help us. People that can come and pay us a visit. People that can come and lay their hands on us. Not so for this woman in the generation and culture in which she lived. Her situation was hopeless. And we understand, therefore, as we look at the Word of God, that before we came to the Lord, we were without God and without hope in the world. Last week, we were a 10-leper colony, weren't we? That's our spiritual standing before the Lord. And today we have another illness which besets those who don't know the Lord. That brings physical, emotional, financial and spiritual consequences. It's all about being separate from the Lord. And without God and without hope in the world. So her condition is defined very clearly as hopeless. But let's move on, shall we? Because it doesn't end there. She doesn't resign herself to the pain and to the suffering. But rather, her faith-filled courage begins to emerge. For 12 years, her life had revolved around managing this illness. Spending on money. Spending medical care. Spending in ways that meant that she was now broke. But then the Bible says, she heard, a report came to her attention that Jesus was in town. And this is where her faith-filled courage really stands out. She heard about Jesus. And what does she do? Well, the Bible says that she didn't simply wait. She pushed through. She went against social protocol and norm. She broke the rules, as it were, because she wasn't allowed to be a part of a crowd. But she didn't allow the kind of the cultural conditions of her day to get in the way. She pressed through the crowd, risking shame and rebuke. Touching others while unclean was definitely against the law. She was willing to press through the pain barrier, not so much of her own condition, but maybe something of her own emotion and the pain barrier of faith, to do exactly what was right to do. Her faith was not some kind of superstitious ritual, but it was in the person of Jesus. Do you understand that here today? She pressed through the crowd, and there was a difference, wasn't there? There were many people pressing in on Jesus. There were many people there rubbing shoulders with him. The crowd was thick and Jesus was in the middle. And yet there was someone who touched Christ in a way that the crowd didn't. Do you understand that? Do you see that here this morning? Many people want to rub shoulders with Jesus. They want to sing about him. Listen to sermons about him. Go to church and talk about him. They have a frequent or infrequent connection with the Lord, but that's not the kind of contact that God wants us to have with him. Some casual acquaintance, some distant relative, a family friend who comes around twice a month, and we have a conversation. What Jesus is looking for, and this is what he experienced, is the one who will reach out in faith. Because there's a difference between rubbing shoulders with Jesus and even knowing about Jesus and singing about Jesus and talking about Jesus and going to church and listening to sermons about Jesus. We can all do that. But it's the touch of faith, isn't it? That's what makes the difference. It's not simply being in the same crowd as Jesus. It's actually reaching out in faith and in confidence to believe for the unbelievable, where man's extremity becomes God's opportunity. When we come to the end of our tether, when we've exhausted every option, where the money has run out or hope is lost, there is somebody that we can go to, and his name is Jesus. And that's what we found. A faith-filled courage is evidenced by the fact that she pressed through the crowd. She said, if I touch even his garments, as it says in Luke, the hem of his garments. Now, Jewish rabbis were expected to wear certain garments with four tassels around the hem of the garment. Those tassels spoke of the commands of God. Now, whether or not she had that in mind, whether or not she thought, right, I need to get hold of the tassel because the tassel is symbolic of this, that and the other, I'm not so sure. What she wanted to do is reach out and touch his outer extremity. She couldn't get any closer than that. All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment. I don't need him to put his hands on my head. I don't need to go to a meeting and have an altar call. All I need to do is touch him on the outskirts of his garment, the hem. All I need to do is make contact and I will be well. And this is actually what happened. She'd heard these reports. I will be made well, even if I touch the hem of his garment. What kind of faith did she have? I think it was a simple faith. I don't think it was a complex faith. The reports obviously had come to her attention. And she thought, here's the answer. All I need to do is touch him, his garments, and I will be made well. Sometimes we think that in order to receive something from the Lord, we need a theological degree. We need to be saved for 10 years. We need to pray and fast for 23 hours a day. Go to church every time the doors are open. We have to do this, this, this and this. But actually, we receive from the Lord not on the basis of works righteousness. We receive from the Lord on the basis of faith. It's faith that pleases God, isn't it? For without it, without faith, we can't please God. Why? Because everyone who comes to him must first of all believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So she was diligently seeking him in the context of her own thinking and understanding and culture, with all the complexities of that and more. She sought the Lord and she reached out. Didn't allow the crowds to put her off. Didn't allow obstacles to get in the way. If anyone had a reason not to press through the crowds, it was her. Sometimes we allow things to get in the way, don't we? Sometimes we allow the hurdles to prevent us from moving forward. We can even make excuses as to why we can't reach out and touch the Lord. And those excuses may be valid, certainly in our thinking, but certainly not in God's thinking. All of us have got crowds that come in different shapes and sizes. What are those crowds? Well, sometimes reasons why we shouldn't press in. Excuses, maybe. Reasons why maybe the Lord doesn't want to reach out to us. And we think that he's not interested. But this story just reminds us here today that all it takes is a simple reaching out to touch that which is at the extremity of the Lord, namely the hem of his garment. If it's done in faith, God will answer.
Amen.
God will come and he will move. Which brings us really on to the third point, which talks about her heavenly cure. The Bible says here, she touched him. She thought, I'll be made well. And that's exactly what happened. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. An instantaneous miracle took place at this point. What an incredible thing. She knew instinctively that her faith had been rewarded. After 12 years of suffering, one touch brought wholeness. One touch transformed her life. That's all it took. And I think for us, we need not simplistic faith. What we need is simple faith that presses through crowds, doesn't make excuses. But Jesus says, all you need is faith likened unto a mustard seed, and you can speak to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea. And it says in Mark 11:23, and he whoever believes and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, will have whatever he says. Mark 11:23 and 24. Have faith in God. Whatever need you have today, it may not be a physical need. We've all got needs in different areas of our lives. Maybe they're personal, maybe it's more family, maybe it's more practical, maybe it's job related, or whatever that need is. And it doesn't matter how long you have faced that need, that does in no way diminish God's ability to meet that need. The timeline of 12 years suddenly fades into the background the moment contact is made with the Lord. And everything changes. Mark, in his record of the Gospels, in terms of the life of Christ, emphasizes the instant power of Jesus, superior to years of failed human effort. And then we move on to the fourth point, and we realize that Jesus then responds to what had taken place. It's interesting that Jesus referred to the fact that he knew instinctively that virtue had passed from him. And this is what sort of created a bit of an interest with the disciples, because they said, well, loads of people are touching you. Jesus is saying, right, somebody's touched me. And the disciples said, well, it's a crowd. There's hustle and bustle. It's no wonder other people are touching you. But Jesus knew differently. And it was the touch, not of the crowd, but rather the touch of faith, coming from one who was broken and bleeding and dying. This was a terminal condition. And yet in faith, something happened to the woman, and Jesus knew that. In other words, when we go to him in faith, Jesus recognizes that. Not the hustle and bustle of the crowd. There were times when Jesus dismissed the crowd and sent them off. But the faith of the one is what gets Jesus' attention. And when we connect with him in faith, in prayer, in worship, through his word, in study, in fellowship, he understands that, and he recognizes it. Not the roar of the crowd, but rather the faith of the individual. You this morning can reach out to the Lord. Amen? You can receive from him. Jesus was not ignorant. He wanted her to step forward. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" He knew that he had been connected with in a way that the crowds had not. All it took was that touch. And then he says to her, the woman came confessing and trembling. Jesus then affirmed her publicly. And what did he say? "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." An outcast was affirmed by the Lord as a daughter. Back into the family, back into belonging, back into society. No longer on the fringes of Jerusalem life or wherever she was, wherever she brought up, but rather she was back within the community. Jesus not only healed her body, but restored her soul, her identity, and her peace. Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it, this morning? Daughter, what does that mean for her? Suddenly there's affirmation coming. This is 12 years, suddenly vanished in the haze with one encounter with Jesus. And that should encourage us here today. What are some of the lessons as we come to a conclusion here today? You know, faith begins where human ability ends. The doctors failed, the money ran out, society failed. But faith in Jesus, faith in his word, succeeded. Many of us exhaust human solutions before we turn to God. Maybe we need to turn to God first of all. Do you have a need here today? Go to the Lord. Don't try to work it out in your own strength or come up with human resolution. But rather go to the Lord in faith and he will meet with you. Desperate faith moves us to action. She didn't just believe quietly. She pressed through the crowd. True faith is never passive. It moves our feet towards the Lord. Amen? That's where faith leads us. Faith always leads us to the Lord. And Jesus is not defiled by our uncleanliness. According to the law, her touch should have made him unclean. Instead, his holiness overcame her uncleanliness. The same is true of sin. When we touch and we reach out to him, he cleanses us. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus cares for the whole person. And he cares for you here today. He didn't just simply let her slip away and perform a secret healing. It was public. He restored publicly her identity, her dignity, and peace in front of everyone. His salvation over our lives is not partial. It is complete. Body, soul, and spirit. So what does Jesus say to us today from this passage? He says to the weary, if you've tried everything and nothing works, bring your needs to him. He says to the isolated, he sees you. He calls you a son or a daughter. You're not on your own. You're part of a family. He wants to restore you to a sense of belonging. To the doubting, he would say, even a trembling, imperfect faith is enough when placed in Christ. And to the church, like the crowd around Jesus, don't be an obstacle. Make space for the hurting to reach him. We have to make room for the broken. And I think we do. In our different ministries and the things that we do and the outreach that we bring. The lost and the lonely and the broken are welcome in this church. They may come as they are, but we pray that they will leave transformed. Amen? That's our desire and prayer. Jesus is still passing by us today. Will you reach out to him in faith? He calls you son, he calls you daughter. Hallelujah. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this reminder of how even fragile, not so much imperfect faith, but faith that just rests on a few reports, nothing more, Lord, can receive and be blessed. And God, we just come to you today and just ask you by your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that if there's anyone here today who just needs a touch from you, Lord, you're passing by. They may feel as though you have got your back to them, as was the case with this woman. She went behind him. But even approaching you from behind, Lord, still gets a miracle. And then you turn and you see us face to face. You don't ignore us. The cry of faith always gets your attention. And we thank you, O God, today for your word. Bless every single person here. Lord, thank you for the visitors amongst us. Bless them, Lord, in their time in this area. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.